be seated. And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and let's pray together again before we look into the Word. Thank you, dear God, that we're able to read this morning from this account of the life of Christ. Lord God, as we think on these things and how, even though this event took place so long ago, and it was with the one who's eternal, Lord, and we know that this applies to us as well, and we'd be able to see these things. Thank you, our Father, that you, even as we've been singing, do care for us, and you understand us. I ask, Lord, that you'd suit a blessing to each of our hearts this morning. If there's one here outside of Christ, they'd be convicted. Dear God, if there's a believer here who's in bondage to a lifestyle or a habit or a sin or anything, Lord, that would hinder their fellowship with you or with one another, that we'd be able to see those things and have the grace to deal with them. Thank you, Lord, that you do work and we can see your handiwork every day as we look at this great creation. And Lord, we just appreciate our gift of salvation in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 8, beginning to read in verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitudes, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence came a man satisfy the... From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmatia. Now, so I look at this and I think back just 2 chapters ago, as we've been studying through the Gospel of Mark, we talked about this day when the Lord Jesus Christ fed 5,000. And now we have a situation where he fed 4,000, and it's very interesting when you listen to some of the critics who will say, well, this is a mistake. There are those who think that this is just a repeat of the first incident and that it's some kind of a mistake, and there are also those who, if they were teaching through the Gospel of Mark, because we'd already looked at a very similar miracle before, but there's no sense in looking at this again. We already saw there were 5,000 just not too long ago, and they were hungry, and Jesus fed them, and there were 12 baskets full left over. And as I looked at this and I thought about it, I thought, well, why would we repeat the same thing again? Is it the same or is it not the same? Is it a mistake? Of course not. But for some reason, this got recorded, so we have to look at it. And there are some differences. Let me ask you, in your life, has there ever been a situation that took place, that happened, something that you needed, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that God provided for your need? You'd have to say yes. Have you ever had the same need occur again on another occasion? He provided for it again. And it gets interesting, because there have been times, both in a negative and in a positive sense, when I've seen things, the Lord is always there. He always sustains us. He always has a supply. He's always ready. And whatever the circumstances, sometimes it's relevant, sometimes it isn't. And I find it interesting, sometimes it takes a number of times over and over again before I will recognize and realize even that the Lord is at work. And just for title's sake this morning, could we just name this message something like this? Watch the Lord work. We need to set back, and I was thinking about this the other day. I happened to look out my window, and someone has said, that only God could paint death so beautifully. As you look at and you anticipate the leaves are going to soon be gone, the leaves are dying, they're coming off the trees, and it gives us pretty beautiful scenery. And I thought, and I don't like to dispute whoever wrote that, but do you know without death there can be no resurrection? I'd rather think of it, doesn't he paint resurrection beautifully? Because I can remember back a year ago, the leaves fell off, they came back. They didn't stay dead. And I get thinking, and you may think this is silly, sometimes some of the lessons that we learn in Scripture are very, very simple, and they're very, very clear. And to get complex and so on, to, you know, we get into the intellectualism of our day, the Gnosticism of our day, and we look at things and try to make things that are very simple, complex. The simplicity of the truth is just this, that we have a God who sustains us. We have a God who loves us, who cares for us, who's in control, who knows. And I got thinking the other day as I was listening to some debates and people talking, you know, about politicians, about politics, about the environment. The same people who would tell you that we need to take very good care of this earth because we're destroying this earth to the extent that 100 years from now or 200 years from now, people will not be able to inhabit the earth because we will have it destroyed to that extent. The same people who believe that believe that we came initially from a rock and we adapted. Well, tell them, don't worry about it. We'll just adapt. But by your own science, we don't have to worry about ruining the environment because we've adapted so far to the extent that we came from monkeys to what we are. So from that sense, we don't have to worry about it. But the Lord is looking after us, don't you think? And then I started thinking, and this maybe is bizarre, maybe not. As I looked out and I saw this, you know, a lot of leaves, the leaves are starting to gather on the ground now. Did you ever wonder what happened to the leaves that came off last year? How about 10 years ago? You have a big tree in your yard and the leaves that came off of there 10 years ago, where are the leaves that came off the tree 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 5 years ago? They become soil. And they change from what they used to be to something else. And we're so ignorant and so self-righteous that we sit and we watch God at work all the time. And what we have here in this, as you look at this portion of Scripture, is just this. The Lord Jesus Christ was doing what he was supposed to do. Number one, he was teaching the people. And he had full intention to provide for them. Last time he did it just away. I have jotted down here just a number of differences between these two incidents. In the first instance, the multitude had been with the Lord one day. In the second instance, he had been there with them for 3 days. Upon the first occasion, the disciples were told to go and see what supplies were available. While upon the other, they were ready with the information before they were asked. When the 5,000 were fed, there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes, while for the 4,000 there were 7 loaves and a few fishes. The first time, which was near the Passover, the multitude was told to sit in companies upon the green grass, while the second time, later in the year, when the green of the Near East would be burnt by the oriental sun, they were instructed to sit on the ground. In the first instance, our Lord is said to have blessed the loaves, while upon the second occasion he said to have given thanks first for the loaves and later to have blessed the fish. After the 5,000 were fed, 12 baskets of fragments remained, but when the 4,000 were satisfied, there were 7 baskets over. And obviously the number who would have been fed was different in each instance. So I got thinking about the situation. The situation sort of was the same. This time the people had been with him for 3 days and they were a long ways away and they were tired. Jesus had compassion, decided to feed them. And as you read through it, you can see different levels of how the apostles at first were concerned. This time they were maybe less concerned, but they hadn't caught on yet. It's like us. Sometimes there will be something take place, and in the past the Lord has done for me, you know, something very similar, but this time for some reason I think he can't, and so on. So I got thinking about actually what this passage has to do with, and Thanksgiving is a good time for this to come up, is just the Lord looks after us, he looks over us, he cares for us, he supplies whatever it is that we need. But you don't necessarily have to see him at work. Just because you can't see the Lord moving and you can't see what he's doing doesn't mean that he's not doing anything. And I got thinking about these leaves and all this. And then what went through my mind, and I don't know what makes a person think the things that they think, but I started thinking about this hydrological cycle. And I don't know if it ever dawned on you this morning, the water that you may have taken a shower with or washed with may have come from Japan, right? And if you knew that the water that you drank this morning or whatever may have come from Japan, would you have taken a bath in it or a shower in it? Maybe it came from China and was laced with melamine. Who knows? But what happens is, and I got thinking about how the Lord provides for us. It's going on continuously, and we're not necessarily thinking about it. Probably no one thought about the fact this morning. And I've looked at it a lot of times. I used to watch the St. John River go by. It runs into the Bay of Fundy. It seems like the bay never gets full. The river never gets empty. Solomon speaks about that in Ecclesiastes. It rains, it evaporates, on and on the whole thing goes. And I thought to myself, it's interesting because there's all these things that take place. Actually, I went into my bathroom this morning and there were two huge creatures in the bathtub. It's a wonderful invention that somebody made at the dollar store, and a creature in the category of a grandchild had thrown them in the tub to make them grow into something else, I guess. I'm not sure why they were in there. But there was a snake, and I didn't recognize the other thing. You know, you buy the little dehydrated creatures, and they grow big. The bigger that you want them to get, the bigger the tank you have to put them in. And I got thinking about this, and I want you to follow this in your mind just a little bit. We make not too much thought, maybe more than we did at one time, about the water we drink, about the food we eat. Probably most of us aren't worried that when we go home at noon today, that we'll have nothing to eat. The Lord, we don't recognize sometimes where the provision comes from. We don't think about where it comes from or any of those such things. But in terms of the water, I want you to think about this just for a few minutes. I just happened to walk across the yard yesterday and I saw, you know, the birds are getting ready to go. The leaves have fallen off. There's all kinds of things taking place that slip by us. But what it is we have God at work. And the idea is just this. Do you know that since the flood, the water that was here then is still here? There's not more, there's not less. It isn't different. But it has changed places over and over again. And it dawned on me, you know, some of these things that happen. And did you ever look at God's creatures and wonder why some of them were created? The only one I have difficulty with is porcupines. They're kind of a useless thing, but I'm sure they're here for a reason. But I got thinking about this idea that the sea doesn't get stagnant. It's salt. The tide puts the water up on the shore. It washes back. It's filtered. The bottom doesn't get stagnant. Even we've got all these different currents. But also, along with the currents, we have these creatures. We have creatures that crawl along the bottom, turning the soil over on the bottom of the ocean. We have creatures that wiggle and jiggle in the water to make sure that it's not stagnant. Everything has its purpose. If you were to dig in the earth, you would find worms, you would find all these things. Then I got thinking of this idea of the idea of evaporation. That if you were to look at the ocean today, and if you were to look at the waters on the earth today, the water evaporates. Now the water becomes lighter than air, so the air currents can carry it. And it moves it from where it is here, where it comes out of the lake, or out of the river, or where out of, from the ocean, to some other place. As it gets to some other place, because of wind, because of different molecules of different solids and so on that would be also carried in the air, and it would cling to that, and they cling together and so on. And then all of a sudden, when it gets to the right place, a cloud forms that's now heavier than air. And the Lord moves the water from where it used to be to where it is. And this is happening day in, day out, and we have this cycle that we don't even see. God is at work. Snow is going to come this winter. The seasons are how they're supposed to be. Everything is exactly how it's supposed to be. And we don't see it happening. And it gets interesting because what started to interest me as I thought about this is the idea of lightning. That if you get these stubborn little rain molecules that are there and they won't come down in the right place, God has designed the earth in such a way that he will shock them into leaving. We call it lightning. All these things that are just natural to us actually are supernatural. It doesn't prove evolution, it proves God. And God sends the rain to where it's supposed to be, to water the earth and to clean the earth, and it happens over and over again. The leaves come off, they grow back on, and all these things happen. God is at work continually, and I thought in a spiritual sense, God is continually at work in your life and in my life. Because we don't recognize it, has to do sometimes because we're not looking. So the situation here was really quite simple. For 3 days, these people had followed the Lord and they were listening to him. They hadn't asked him for food. They weren't complaining because they were hungry. It says that he had compassion because of how they were. And I started to look at Scripture and I started to think of Scripture and I thought to myself, what can I learn from this? It's Thanksgiving. For what am I thankful? Those things that I maybe complain about, you'd think I wasn't thankful. But as I sat down and did an evaluation of more than a half a century of existence, I could come up with just one thing. God is awesome. We have a great God. He makes no mistakes. And don't worry about me. I don't have to see, so it doesn't matter. And also, it doesn't bother me anymore, so don't worry about it. So, can you not see God work? Do you know what's wrong with you? Do you know what's wrong with us? Is we're so spoiled that we fail to see God's working. God needs to do a work in our hearts. Do you think that the people who were gathered on the ground and received the fragments of the food that the Lord Jesus Christ blessed and divided when they left were changed? They were changed because they had seen the Lord work. And it gets interesting, it wasn't too long after this, some of the same folks were saying what? Crucify him. Tells me something about our nature. Tells me something about my nature. Tells me something about these cycles that come and they go and what we're like. We have to be very, very careful. Here we see the apostles and how they were a little bit different from the first occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ had fed the multitudes. And I got looking at this and thinking about it. We think and we look at this and we would say that the Lord feeds the multitudes. I want to tell you this morning that every person that eats is fed by the Lord. Those who may be hungry this morning are hungry because of the God of this world, because of greed. When God designed this planet, when he designed us, when he dispersed the people, you know, there's plenty. The earth produces enough to provide the needs to sustain everybody who lives here. But there are those who, because of greed and because of control and because of power and because of pleasure and because of prestige, because of not recognizing God, would hoard up all the sustenance and would abuse those who have less. So when you stop and look at this, and I thought it was kind of interesting that in both occasions you don't see the situation where one person is saying, I need more than this. Everybody got exactly what they needed and there was some left. The truth of the matter is the Lord has provided for us everything that we need. And I thought to myself as I looked and I thought about a church, it's called Laodicean Church in the book of the Revelation chapter 3. It referred to us as being poor and naked and hungry and blind, separated and alienated from God and not knowing it. And that's where the church is today. I'm not speaking about this church, I'm talking about Christendom in general. Everything is there except God, except a recognition of God. And as I looked at this and I thought, you know, why would I bother to take the time even this morning to repeat a message that back a few weeks ago that we looked at when we were in chapter 6? It's because, I don't know about you, sometimes I don't get it the first time around. I sometimes have to be told again. Someone had told me before, you know, in terms of life and in terms of how the Lord works, that sometimes what happens is the Lord will keep trying us with the same thing until we finally get it. I'm not so sure that I can give you a chapter or a verse, but it seems like that, doesn't it? So I could ask a very simple question. In terms of our physical needs, Do you think the Lord provides for us everything that we need? Sure. In terms of me as being an immaterial person, a person with a soul and a spirit, has the Lord provided everything I need for time and eternity? Yes. Why then do we live less than what we have to be, less than victorious? It's because, can you imagine, and I'm not so sure, I don't see the scripture anywhere, but do you think that there would have been anyone gathered there on the ground that day who would have said, no thank you, I don't want what you have. No thank you, I brought my own. No thank you, I'm not hungry. I don't think so. Probably everyone there recognized that they were being provided for by someone. And wouldn't it have been interesting to watch? The Lord Jesus Christ would have been there with these few little articles of food and just kept handing it out. And as he handed it out, it didn't get empty. Actually, there was some left over. We have a word for that. It's called a miracle. Do you know, in a sense, that life as it is, life for all of us is a miracle? If somehow you would be able to look into the future and know exactly what was in store for you for the rest of your lives, most of us probably would be scared to death. But when you look backwards and you see how the good times come, and then there are sometimes trials and difficulties, and the Lord is there every time. Not just in a physical sense, but he's also there in a spiritual sense. I want you to turn with me this morning, as we close, to Philippians. I was actually looking at two verses there this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Good, so this afternoon before I go home, I'm going to stand over there and jump over the church. Is that what it means? I'm going to borrow my grandson's skateboard and call the ambulance first, right? What does it mean when it says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? Do you know there are some things that he expects us to do, and there are some things that he wants us to do? Those things he has provided for us the ability to do, and everything we need to do them. I've heard people, take some of these verses to extreme, and they're to be taken literally, but they're to be taken also with the understanding that I'm a believer who knows the Lord, and I have sought the Lord's will in my heart and in my life, and if my fellowship with the Lord is how it ought to be, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And verse 19 tells me why. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. How? By Christ Jesus. Can't you picture the scene in the wilderness on that day? The grass is now gone. The grass is brown and dead, and the people sat on the ground. And if you want to stop and really think about it, there could have been maybe 12,000 people there. There were 4,000 men. And if you figure it sort of like this, every man had his wife with him, maybe one child. That's speculation. There were a lot of people sitting on the dry, parched ground on that day. They'd been there 3 days listening to the Lord Jesus Christ teach. They were hungry, and the idea this time was, well, they've been here a long time. They've come from a long ways. I don't want to send them home hungry. So the announcement would have been made, let's have lunch. But the food that I brought is gone. And they started to distribute what they had. I want to tell you, don't think the supply is gone. The supply isn't gone. The Lord has absolutely everything that you need according to his riches in glory. Problem that I have in my life from time to time, I forget that I have a God that can and will supply absolutely everything that I need. That's for all of us as believers. Whatever it is, I don't know what the circumstances in your life might be today. But I do know this, and I can say it by the authority of Scripture, that when the children were hungry, when these people who had followed him were hungry, the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion, and he wanted to meet their needs. I just want to add that this morning. It isn't a matter that we have a God that doesn't want to meet our needs. He wants to meet your needs. If there's a problem, well, Megan was singing about it this morning. I don't know how many are here. That's how many problems we have. Bunch of individual problems. If I have, the biggest problem that I have is, you know, the guy whose hair I comb every morning, believe it or not. And the truth of the matter is, as I looked at this portion of Scripture, I thought to myself, what am I supposed to do with this? Maybe I should just pass over and say this is the same as happened back a couple of chapters ago when he fed the 5,000. But you know, it isn't. The circumstances were different. Or I could say, you know, it's the same thing that happens day after day after day after day, and we just need to recognize, listen, just this as we close. We have an awesome God who created us, who made us, who made this earth. He made it in a certain way that we could live here. He had this wonderful plan, and we are, as believers, the body of Christ, and we're the bride of Christ and the building of Christ, the brotherhood of Christ. And he had made us in a certain way, and he has for us a storehouse of supply to meet all our needs. Whatever our needs are, he has what it takes. If it's spiritual, he can take care of that. If you have a physical need, he's able to take care of that. If you have a need that has to do with your emotions, your intellect, your will, your soul, the Lord has in supply what can take care of that. Whatever comes along in the life of any believer, he has a supply to take care of it. What's my responsibility? Sometimes it's to ask. Whatever it is, you ask the Lord, he'll take care of it. We'll all be blessed. Let's pray. Thank you, our Father, for our position in Christ. Thank you, dear God, this morning that as we look at your Scripture and see those things that you did in the flesh as you walked on this earth, Lord God, that you continue to do for us in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that a day has been set aside that we call it Thanksgiving. Lord, I just pray that we would have an attitude of thankfulness. Lord, also that we would see you as being sovereign and recognize that the judge of all the earth always does right and that we can trust you. I thank you, Father, again that we're able to gather. And I just ask, Lord, as we think about this miracle that took place, that we'd be reminded of the many miracles that take place in all of our lives every day, and we would appreciate it as we should. Amen. And as